السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على السلام حي على السلام حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون صدق الله العظيم. We start by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is worthy of all of our praise and our gratitude. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who guides us to what is right and what is beneficial to us. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who prevents us and keeps us away from those things that are harmful to us, whether if we see or not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran mentions, أَسَىٰ أَن يُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ كَرْهٌ لَكُمْ. Sometimes your heart is connected to something but it is bad for you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who keeps you away from that. And then he flips it around and says, sometimes you dislike something but that thing is actually benefits you. And it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who calls us toward those things that are beneficial to us. We then send peace and blessings upon the Prophet ﷺ, the one that was sent as a perfect example to teach us how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to conduct ourselves and to guide us to that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amma ba'd, thereafter. At the time of Umar ibn Khattab رضي الله تعالى عنه, a Jewish man came to Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه, and this is narrated by Imam Bukhari رحمة الله عليه, that the Jewish man comes to Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه, and he says, Umar, there is a particular verse in the Quran, in your scripture, that if this verse was revealed to us, if it was in our tradition, we would call that day and set that day aside as a day of celebration. That's how powerful this verse of the Quran is, that if it was to be in the Torah, then we would announce that day as a day of celebration. Umar ibn Khattab asks this Jewish man, which verse are you talking about? And he recites a verse of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum. To the end of the ayah. And Umar ibn Khattab responds back by saying, I know exactly when this verse was revealed, and I know where it was revealed as well. That we were in Hajjatul Wada, the final, the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was standing on the mountain of Arafah, and this verse was revealed. So it's not that we don't know our roots of our religion. But because the Prophet ﷺ didn't declare that as a day of celebration, that's why we do not declare it as a day of celebration. And the reason why I bring this verse, not to go into the topic of Hajj, and of course Hajj season now starting, and just tomorrow the first group of Hujjaj will leave. But the purpose of bringing this ayah is to understand the ayah itself, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that today we have completed your religion for you as a favor upon you. And this ayah, this verse tells us that Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anything in our religion, it benefits us. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has completed His favor upon us. And the way of life that we have, it's complete. Nothing else needs to be added, and nothing needs to be subtracted. To the point that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith says, وَكُلُّ مُحْدَثٍ بِدْعَةٍ. Every new addition, every new innovation is a bid'ah. And then the Prophet ﷺ says, and every bid'ah, every addition, it will be dhalala, kullu dhalala fi an-nar, and every dhalala, every misguidance will be in the fire of Jahannam. Why? Because our deen is complete. And our deen and our religion is actually our moral compass. It guides us and tells us that this is right and that is wrong. To the point that a Muslim does not need a court of law to tell us that this is bad for human beings. Sometimes they might align. Sometimes a ruling of Islam, the court might come out or a law might be passed and say that this is now bad for you. This is now prohibited. But the reality is, for Muslims, we don't need that court of law to say that this certain act is now prohibited. Why? Because our moral compass of finding something permissible or impermissible, and our moral compass of finding something beneficial or harmful, is not dictated by the 21st century, but is dictated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because man-made laws change over time. And when you're as old as I am, sometimes you've seen things where the court said this was permissible before and it's allowed before, but now it's prohibited and is not accepted anymore, and vice versa. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's law is, this is what's good for you, and no matter what, it will always be good for you, and this is what's prohibited. Why? Because not that it was eeny, meeny, miny, mo, that let me just choose a few things, but this is actually harmful for you, for the society, for insan, for mankind, to build a community. This factor must not be there. And you look at anything that Islam has prohibited. Alcohol, the effects of alcohol, gambling, taking life. Every single thing that Islam has prohibited, the reason why, because it's harmful to our society. And everything that Islam has made permissible, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made buying and selling and doing business permissible, but on the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made interest haram. Why? Because one is beneficial. It's good for the person who's buying, it's good for the person who's selling, it's good for the rich, it's good for the poor. It brings up the economical status of our whole society together as one. وَأَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَا. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made riba an interest haram. Why? Because it's not in the favor of everybody. It's in the favor of a very few selected 1%. That the rich gets richer and the poor gets poorer. And this is what guides us to good and bad. The Quran and the Sunnah. So in today's news, where a law has been passed that so-and-so thing is now not accepted, or it's now illegal, it makes no difference in my life. Why? Because that thing was impermissible in my life from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes something prohibited in the Quran, or when He teaches us a lesson to teach us this is good for you or this is bad for you, He does this in two different ways. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal a hukum, a rule, so-and-so thing is permissible and so-and-so thing is prohibited. For example, the ruling of alcohol, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala solely breaks down, where the first stage, they ask about alcohol, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ. They ask about gambling and alcohol, قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِلُ النَّاسِ. In the first stage of alcohol being mentioned in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said there's good in there and there's bad in there as well. But the bad, it overpowers the good. And the second time alcohol is mentioned in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنْتُمْ سُكَارَى. Don't go towards salah in the state that you are intoxicated. Salah at this time was still not prohibited. But then the third verse comes where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. It is impure, it is from the actions of shaitan. Now at this point, this verse is completely prohibited. This verse prohibits the use of alcohol. But the second way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us this lesson is actually through the examples and the stories of the people of the past. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to teach us to have patience in our life. Why? Because this is a good quality. It will help you through the hard times that you face. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us this through the story of Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. That Ayyub was abdan shakura, he was a thankful and a patient servant. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to teach us wisdom, that don't just look at what's in front of you, but actually take the moment and look at the bigger picture, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam and the wisdom of Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam and how Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam breaks down this wisdom by saying, Ya Bunay, O my child, be mindful of this. O my child, be mindful of this. And he shares this wisdom with his child. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to teach us what's wrong, He teaches us about pride and how pride will destroy you from within and will blind you to that which is apparent and true. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does that through the story of Fir'aun, where Fir'aun turns around and says, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la, I am the greatest Lord. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to teach you the vices of wealth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does that through the story of Haman. The Haman, who at one time was a worshiper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wealth came into his life. And this wealth didn't just change his standards of living, but it changed his process of thinking as well. It didn't only get him a better house or a better car, but it also changed his mentality that I earned all of this. This had nothing to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and where he became an ungrateful servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to teach us how to be steadfast, another quality which is good for us, that no matter what happens, stick to your religion. Whether society tells you it's good for you or whether society tells you it's bad, we're going through a month where questions are popping up one after another. Why does Islam say so-and-so thing is prohibited? Why does Islam say people who practice this type of lifestyle are not to be accepted? And the reality is, society will keep changing its narrative back and forward, whereas Islam says this is what our religion is. Islam teaches us that when a person commits a sin, we do not accept the sin, but of course you leave the door open for that person, you accept that person. And the example of this is of the Prophet ﷺ accepting Wahshi and Hind, even though what their sin was that they mutilated the body of Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But the Prophet ﷺ left that door open, because if you engage in this sin we will not accept. But you as a human being, our relationship with you is that we need to show you mercy, we need to provide help for you. So going back to what we were talking about, society keeps wavering from one side to another side, that today this is okay and tomorrow this is, you know, not okay. 20, 30 years ago when I was a young child, some of the things that are accepted today were unheard of back in those days. And today if you speak up against these things, you are looked at as backwards. The how can you say this, whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dictates to us that this is what's good for you and this is what's harmful for you. And sometimes society, it takes some time to catch up. And other times society actually takes a reverse effect and moves further away. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he teaches the example of being steadfast, sticking to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you, he does this through the story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has this golden rule. The golden rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this doesn't just pertain to our religion, but every single aspect of your life, this golden rule applies. And the rule of Allah is the more you sacrifice, the greater the reward is. The more hardships you go through, the more difficulty Allah puts you through, the greater the reward is. And we look at the story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's life was completely covered with hardships, was completely covered with tests. For you today, for me today, it's a test when people question my religion and say, why is this prohibited in your religion? Or why is this permissible in your religion? And that's our test. But if you look at the story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, from a young child, at a very young age, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam stands up to the idols of those times. And the people who worship idols, they said to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, oh Ibrahim, what are you doing? Are you saying that our lifestyle is incorrect? What we have been doing, what our forefathers have been doing, are you saying that is incorrect? And today, in 2022, we face the same question over and over. Are you Muslims saying that this lifestyle that I'm living, that is incorrect? And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was faced with that same question. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam answers, absolutely. Why? Because this makes no sense. Then Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is faced with another challenge, that sometimes when you stick to what you believe, the path in front of you will not be easy. Hardships will come. And that's Allah's golden rule. The the more hardships you face, the better the reward is. And this is why Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, after sticking up and saying that your way of life is incorrect, worshipping idols is incorrect, they then say that, okay, take Ibrahim and throw him into this fire. And hardships will face you as well when you stick to your religion. When you put on your hijab. When you take time out to pray your salah, or you take time away from work to go to Hajj. When you practice your religion, hardships will follow. But the golden rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Hardships are not here to stay. With hardships come ease. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, in many different places, He teaches us this lesson that the hardships that you are facing today, because you are standing up for your religion, you are standing up for your beliefs, you are standing up to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told you is permissible and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told you is impermissible, those hardships are not here to last forever. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran was, He says, وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا. These are days, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala flips these days. Some days you'll face hardships, and other days you'll face ease. In the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you see something very similar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through a period of his life where hardships were so tough, were so difficult, that the Quraysh came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they mocked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It seems like your religion isn't benefiting you. It seems like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgotten you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْدُّحَا وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. وَالْدُّحَا, I take an oath by the daybreak that in your life there might be darkness. But the sun will come out. The sun will shine, and these hardships that you're facing today, they will go away. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. Hold up. Those hardships going away, that's not a permanent thing. Don't get used to it. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. Why? Because the night will come immediately right after. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا. And this is the lesson that we learn from the story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. That Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was tested over and over and over. And Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, rahmatullahi alayhi, they bring the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an. That Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an says that when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was being thrown into this fire, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam sent an example for you and I. That Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came and said that, should I help you? Do you want my help? And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam responded back by saying, Hasbunallah. Ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal waqeel. Allah is enough for me. You might not understand my way of life or Islam's point of view to your lifestyle, but hasbunallah, I put my trust in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal waqeel. And that is the best person, the best being that I can put my affairs in control of. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he actually uses this exact phrase from the story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this story as an example, as a lesson. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the time when they were faced against a large army, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Hasbunallah. I put my matters in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we look at the story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, we learn steadfastness. The hardships that you're facing, it's okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove those hardships and will bring ease into your life. The hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, when Mu'mineen has Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there is no trouble, there is no hardship, there is no difficulty that a believer faces except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes his sins, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extinguishes and wipes away his shortcomings. Remember we said the golden rule? The more hardships you face, the better the reward is. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam faced hardships, and because of this, his reward today is that over 1 million Muslims travel across the world
and perform Hajj on the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, not just Muslims but Christians. They respect Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and Jewish people expect Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And earlier I said that this golden rule doesn't just apply to your deen. That the more time you spend reading the Quran or the more time you spend praying your salah, the better the reward is. But it's to any and every aspect of your life. The more time you give to your children, the more you get out of them. The more time you give at work, the better the results will be. The more time you give to your studies. You know, summertime right now, and I ask a lot of the youth, what have you been up to? Sheikh, I'm extremely bored. And on the other hand, you have somebody that, you know, I'm just taking these extra classes, these summer classes. The more difficulty, more sacrifice you put in, the better the reward will be. For the person who puts in that extra sacrifice for their work, for their career, for their education, for their family, for the people around them, the more reward that they will get. On the other hand, you have a person who doesn't really want to put effort into their children, who doesn't really want to put effort into their career, and then they want to come and complain, Sheikh, my child doesn't listen to what I have to say. Sheikh, my wife is not happy with me. Sheikh, I'm struggling at work. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us the lesson through the story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to understand, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرَى, with hardships comes ease. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa nashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu. Amma ba'd. The question comes up that when you are facing these different days of hardships and of ease, what should your role be? And the answer, like we said earlier, when you're facing hardship, your role and your responsibility is to be steadfast. To understand this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All right, now I may be struggling in my health and I may be struggling with my career, but hasbunallah. I may be struggling with my children, but hasbunallah. I may be struggling in society and community, but hasbunallah. But then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala flips the days and days get better, what is your role and what is your responsibility? And the answer is to help those that are going through hardship. That the blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you to share those blessings. And this is why so many organizations, they make an effort to pass on that khair that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. And even today, alhamdulillah, we have Islamic Relief that is here, who has taken on the responsibility of taking your udhiyah, your sacrifice of Eid al-Adha, and passing on to people who are going through days of hardship, that today, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you and you're going through days of Eid. But they will take care of this responsibility and pass on to the day to the people that are going through hardships. And this way, outside on your way out, please visit the table from Islamic Relief to give your udhiyah. Some scholars say that udhiyah is a high level of wajib, and other scholars say it's mandatory. But either the way, if you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you, your responsibility is to take care of those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put through hardships. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran ordering us and telling us, he says, إِنَّ اللَّهُ مَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ النَّبِيَّاءِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَصَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر المسلمين في كل مكان. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask you have mercy upon the Muslim Ummah. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask you help the Muslim Ummah wherever they may be. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, We ask that you make us people who love our deen. Oh Allah, Allahumma habbib ilayna al-iman wa zayyinhu fi qulubina. Oh Allah, make our deen beautiful in our hearts. Wa qarrin al-kufra wal-fusuq wal-isyan. Oh Allah, give us distaste for that which is displeasing to you. Give us distaste for that which is sin. Oh Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask that you make the affairs of the Muslims easy. Oh Allah, anybody that has made the intention of Hajj this year, oh Allah, we ask that you take them to Hajj and you bring them back with safety. Oh Allah, we ask that you give them the Hajj that is accepted. Oh Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, those of us that want to go Hajj, oh Allah, we ask that you send us the invitation as well. Oh Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we enter the days of Dhul Hijjah, oh Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, make us people who maximize and benefit from these best 10 days of the year. Oh Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you give us your closeness. Oh Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you be pleased with us. Oh Allah, forgive our sins. Oh Allah, overlook our shortcomings. Oh Allah, pardon our mistakes. Oh Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, we seek protection from the fire of Jahannam. Oh Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, we seek protection from the fire of Jahannam, and we seek your pleasure, and we seek paradise, which is closest to you. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa aqim salah.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله هيا للصلاة هيا للصلاة هيا للفلاة هيا للفلاة قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين واتقوا والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون فما يكذبك بعد بالدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته brothers and sisters one minute inshallah الله يبارك فيكم Just like you heard the Sheikh today, we spoke about Dhul Hijjah, the greatest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created days that are greater than other days, years that are greater than other years, months that are greater than other months. And these days that are coming are some of the greatest days, if not the greatest 10 days of the year, Dhul Hijjah. And we follow the sunnah of Sayyidina Ibrahim, who was commanded to slaughter his son. And when he was almost about to, Allah commanded him to slaughter an animal in exchange. Until today, for thousands of years, we're following that sunnah to the year 2022. I'm going to tell you a small story. And you see the table in the back for the people leaving. But I'm going to tell you a small story about a little girl that was waiting. And I'm not going to tell you the name of the country. She was waiting in line because her mom was sick for the distribution for Adahi. And when she got the bag from the organization brothers that were standing on the line, they gave her the bag and she took some of the meat and she ate it in front of them. She didn't know what it was. And they stopped her. And they told her, no, take this and give it back to your mother. She didn't know what the meat was. She didn't know what the meat was. And these are the people that you're helping today, that we've been helping for 30 years. People like that little girl. That didn't know what it was. And communities across the world wait the whole year for Muslimin to stand up and say, yes, I want to help. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ We read it in our salahs every day, Surah Al-Kawthar, the shortest surah in the Quran. And worship your Lord and slaughter, وَانْحَرْ, for His sake. And that's the opportunity that's presented to us today because we want the Noor to come out of Frisco today, the Islamic Center of Frisco. Because we have Qurbani in countries where the sheep costs only $75 or the cow portion or the lamb. It doesn't matter. It's meat. And we're feeding it to people that are waiting for us. So let's compete in khair today And remember that little girl because she could be our daughter, our sister. She is our sister in Islam. And her mother is our sister in Islam. And every one of us can say, Ya Allah, I want to do this for your sake. And enter the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah on the best note, sacrificing for the sake of Allah. And you're giving towards with Islamic Relief. The ones that you do give online, you do give when they show up, and you do give when they ask. You do give when they ask, and we are here humbly asking you to help us and help yourselves do our udhiyah this year. To help hundreds of thousands of people this year. The smallest udhiyah is $75. We have countries for $100, all the way to Palestine for $425. There are some countries that are more expensive than others, and you know the reasons why. Give what you can, give more than one, do one for as your obligation for your family, do another one for sadaqah jariyah, do one for a loved one who passed away. If your mother, your father, your grandparents put nur in their grave by feeding somebody on their behalf, just make the intention and we'll take care of the rest. You can swipe with your iPad in the back, you can fill out the form in the back, you could scan the QR code and go home and do it. And the sisters, I'm not forgetting you, of course, you can do it as well. Allahi barik fikum. My name is Muhammad, I'm with Islamic Relief. We got Ihab and Shoki and Sheikh Saad. They're in the back too, helping out. We look forward to seeing you. Bismillah, with nillah, jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Just a few announcements. Sister Mehrunisa had a surgery on her hand. The requested dua that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives her a complete, everlasting, quick shifa. Also today, after Asr Salah, there is a girls program, middle school and high school. It will be today upstairs. So if you have daughters that are of that age, please bring them. Tomorrow, we have a guest speaker, the Imam of Al Masjid, Sheikh Abdurrahman Bashir, that will be doing a youth program. It'll be a bonfire program with s'mores. You know, if you have kids that are of that age, you know, please bring them. Also, there is a request for announcement that, inshallah, from July 1st to July 3rd, there will be ijtima at the Carrollton Masjid. Please do make an attempt to attend. On July 4th, save the date, inshallah, we will be having a barbecue from the masjid here on the 4th of July, and then we'll have fireworks that can be seen from the that take place at the Toyota Stadium and can be seen from here. So save the date on the 4th of July. As always, on your way out, please donate to the masjid. The masjid depends on your generosity. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.